Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Here it is.
Okay.
You hear?
You hear?
Yep.
I hear it too. We're good.
Okay. Can I hang up now?
Yes.
All right. We are.
Do you mind posting the link to YouTube in the chat, Rob? At some point?
Yeah.
I can monitor where my headphones are.
Give me one moment. Alexa, set alarm for 1 minute. Sorry, we usually have this down to science.
It's just we've been doing this video stream with it now that we're in quarantine, and it requires just a bit more.
It's so tough.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
I've actually been getting better like week by week, but there's always something that seems to crop up.
Okay. All right. Let me just make sure the audio works, and I'll post that.
I think that the other computer that you're using might be, like, the mic is on. Because I started hearing a back, like white noise, like background.
Like what kind of background?
Whatever, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
You mean like you hear me clicking?
Like traffic, white noise.
I think that just makes Skype.
Oh, it's better.
This
is
your announcer, Chuck.
Fine. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's just go. Oh, let me give you the link. Okay. Everyone ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
She ready.
All right. I'm going to play the intro. Can everyone just mute their mics or just be really quiet until we start?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's been 10 years since the legend Peter Steele died. I wonder how he'd be dealing with coronavirus if he was alive today. It's almost impossible to properly social distance with such a massive dog. He'd probably die all over again. RIP a legend times two. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Hello! Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's Rob. Here for another week. Let me fix my camera. And we have a very special guest sitting in with us on this episode, as you can see. First off, let's introduce everyone. I'm Rob. It's Noah.
Hey.
Sid.
Hey.
It's Darren. And then in the middle over here, if you're watching the video feed, is our very special guest, New York-based comedian Ian Fidens.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
You're supposed to give him the Johnny Carson, the very funny, very talented.
Know him from many New York comedy clubs. It's Ian Fidens.
Thank you so much, Johnny. I appreciate that intro.
if you kill it, you get to go sit over on his couch later.
Oh, I'm really trying to social distance, so I'll take a reach.
And Ian, you are, of course, a fan of the hard rocks, the heavy metals. Actually, you were featured in our column, Humor of the Beast, which talks to comedians about rock and metal.
Yeah.
So you'll fit right in here.
Yes, I love that. That was awesome. That actually got me street cred with a girl I was trying to bang a while ago. So thank you guys.
Oh, we're always here to help give people street cred with girls they try to bang. So
appreciate it. It didn't work, but I think that was more of a me thing and a less Metal Injection thing. So thank you guys.
I also do want to mention that we have a phone number. We're live. We record every Tuesday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern, right about then, around then. You know, we try. We have some technical difficulties, and you can be a part of the show. 213-WIDE-NUT is the number. That's 213-943-3688. And in addition to that, we also have a Patreon if you just need a little more live cast where the archives of these video episodes go. And we also have bonus episodes every month. This month, we watched Santa with Muscles and did a live running commentary. It was brutal.
Have you ever seen it?
You do not want to watch this movie.
What is it?
It's Hulk Hogan. It's a Hulk Hogan vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Where
Hulk Hogan loses his memory and thinks he's this department store Santa Claus.
But he thinks he's actually Santa.
He thinks he's actually Santa, and then it's like an undercover mission to stop a bad
guy. Oh, wow.
Guy.
He loses his memory? I bet he wished he had this movie happen after he got caught saying the N-word on camera.
Yeah. Also, after he ate the chicken parm and fucked that girl on camera. And,
right. I thought that was David Hasselhoff. No, the cheeseburger on camera. That's right. And he just tried to fuck his daughter. Okay, I got it. Perfect.
Well, Hogan might have done that, too.
80s.
Oh, yeah,
star.
That's right. Brooke Hogan.
80s star who became kind of a 90s washed up C-level star with really stupid hair. I feel like that's could be either one of those two guys. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Both had side music careers.
Yeah. They got a lot in common, the Hoff and the Hogan.
Germans, both are big in Germany.
Uh-huh.
So. For sure.
Well, Ian, you know, you are a comedian. You are a live performer. We've been talking about how this quarantine has been affecting musicians. For you, for someone who makes his living in nightlife mostly every night, how, I'm assuming this has affected you very negatively.
I don't know what you guys are talking. I'm out every night. I'm killing it. There's no competition. I just go to the towns with the least amount of cases, and I am crushing it right now. It's a terrible dystopian nightmare, and I can't wait till it's over. Back to you, Rob.
Do you have like a tight five on coronavirus, like your
last. I mean, it's funny because I was there's a show on Comedy Central called This Week at the Comedy Cellar, and I was filming a couple episodes leading up to when everything got shut down. So I had a ton of corona jokes, I had a ton of topical jokes, I had a ton of like Love is Blind jokes. So they all are gone. I mean, I still have them, but everything that I was supposed to shoot for TV just went out the window. But I actually haven't been writing a lot of stand-up. I don't know if it's kind of like, you know, like when you break up with a girl, you never listen to the songs that you guys had together, you know? I think I might be, you know, mourning that way. But I think about a lot, and I know when everything stopped, I was like really on like a fucking great – I was in a great place, and I know it's going to pick up when it all comes back. But I've been writing other things, which has been helping out a lot. But it's just tough, you know, when you write, like, you can't go out and practice it anywhere unless I'm in my backyard yelling, you know. But I'm pretty close to that, so.
Ian has been working on a really funny cartoon called Surviving with Gary and Ian. And I've been enjoying that a lot.
Oh, you're a sweetheart, Noah. Thanks. Yeah, it's about two roommates, Gary and Ian, that live together in a global pandemic-induced quarantine in New York City. So it's definitely science fiction, definitely not based in reality. But it's a 4 to 5 pound cartoon strip that comes out every day. It's like an old school Sunday morning cartoon, and each day it has to do with, you know, like a topic or theme that the entire world is going through. So it's been pretty cool, and we're gonna try to turn it into a book, which would be really nice. It's like a time capsule for what we all went through.
That sounds very fun. How people like write a novel, do a book, like when do you have time to do this? Like when you're not stressing.
I feel the same way. I was just talking to my friend last night about like how I feel like such an unproductive, like, I have this mentality of, like, I have to come out of this, I have to win the quarantine. I have to come out and have the X, Y, and Z, and if I don't, I'm a piece of shit, and I should quit, and everyone will be better than me, and at the same time, it's like, I haven't had a night where I just watch a movie in forever.
I feel the same way, and I was actually, like, you know, like, I just get wrapped up in I mean, I'm so grateful that I have work to do, but I just start getting tunnel vision, because I'm just staring at a computer for like 8 hours and I feel like a zombie, and I like, I don't want to play guitar. I don't want to exercise. I don't want to do anything. But like, I was also feeling not productive, and my therapist, she was saying a lot of people feel that way. And also, like, in a pandemic, it's not a time to like improve yourself, but it's more like maintaining what you have and your sanity. Yeah.
I was actually starting to feel good about myself. So I was going out and running and stuff, like, with extreme safety precaution. And then we had Joe Satriani on last week. And he was talking about how he worked with Christopher Guest, you know, from Spinal Tap. And Christopher Guest, like, is a mandolin virtuoso and, like, all this stuff that I keep hearing people saying stuff like, you know, they're learning how to fucking juggle in Russian or something. Like, it's like, you know, it's like What the fuck am I doing? You know, I'm watching Ozark. You know, okay, great.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, legitimately, the other night, I was spiraling to a point where I filled out all of my information to take a Joyce Carol Oates masterclass. And then at the last second, I was like, okay, you don't need to take a short story writing class from American novelist Joyce Carol Oates. Just calm down.
Try it a little too hard.
Do you know what's – so also what's been happening to me is, I guess because I'm sitting all day and I'm not, like, moving or exercising,
uh-oh,
whenever I do get up, like, my toes go numb. No, like, I feel like – I don't know. I think, like, my body is slowly dying because I can't – like, I'll start walking my dog or whatever and I can't feel three of my toes.
Well, that must be so hard for you, Noah, because you're not practicing jiu-jitsu anymore, right?
No.
That must be so tough.
Yeah.
In fairness, she doesn't need to practice. She's already mastered it. She's like at the top.
No, I'm not mastered.
Like Tony Ja.
But it was such a great outlet for me, and now I just, I don't know.
You're not doing any home practice? Nothing?
I am, but it's not the same.
To not do it with another person. I mean, I feel the same way about sex right now. And I've been practicing at home, but it's just really not the same. And I keep having to wash my gi. But I
that's a really abrasive cum rag.
Episode two.
That's why I have so many wins in jiu-jitsu. I just wear my cum rag and they're like, I tap out.
Shortest jiu-jitsu win in history.
Yeah, right.
I feel your pain, Noah, because like for me, I like especially this week, I've missed going to the bathhouse so much. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but it's like I love going to a nice Korean spa, getting a schwitz, and especially like now, like right now, it's like, oh, there's nothing to do. Like I'm like, I need to relax. I need to calm down, not be stressed. What do I do when I want to calm down? Like, oh, I go to a schwitz. But, like, obviously you can't do that right now. And like, oh, how I can't wait to schwitz when this whole thing is over.
Rob, I love how you're, like, so committed to bringing back the old original meaning of bathhouse that you, like, plow right through without, like, worrying about anyone's reaction whatsoever. Like, I feel like that word
whatever do you mean, Jared?
It's just, you know, I mean, it's taken on slightly a different connotation in the past 40 years. Not that that's a bad thing.
And let me tell you something. I've been doing everything I can to help it take on that new connotation. So.
Hey, look, those guys hanging out in the steam room want to relieve themselves. Nothing wrong.
Sure. Can't you just like go into your bathroom, run the hot water in the shower, and like whack off into the mirror? Like, isn't that basically the same thing?
Well, it's tough for Rob because no other naked man will be there watching him. So I think that's
that's why I'm saying into the mirror. If it's into the mirror, that's like a second guy in there.
I'm not attracted to myself. I'm not hot enough. Oh, Rob.
Rob's going to shave one side of his face and be like, oh, how are you? I didn't see you there.
Like the Cher impersonators on Star Search back in the day with the half and half. Does anybody remember that? Am I dating myself too much? Darren, thank you, Darren.
I remember this, yes.
And they would do
McMahon,
like...
Ed McMahon nearly flopped. By the way, we have an Ed McMahon and a Johnny Carson reference on the show. Thank you very much.
God.
In the first 20 minutes, no less. Like,
Doc
where are we going?
Coming up in the next hour.
You okay, Rob?
Excuse me. Yeah, just doing my show prep a little late. But I did want to mention, last week on the show, we talked about how a booking agent has said that, like, live shows, the live experience, he doesn't see it coming back until early 2021.
I don't want to hear that. That's incredibly depressing. And I wonder if that booking agent was someone for like Live Nation.
It's just an independent booking agent, like a metal tour booking agent. He's not affiliated with
anybody. I know. Is he also a psychic?
Well, hold on one second. Well, this was the last week's story. He was just speculating just based on like, oh, you know, how are you going to sell out, like, even if shows come back in September, there's going to be like limits, like you can only fill the house halfway, probably there's going to have to be distancing, so it won't get back. He was saying it won't get back to normal until early 2021. Then this week in the New York Times, a healthcare expert, somebody who like wrote contributed to the Affordable Care Act, which in a way is a bit of a red flag, but he has said that he cannot conceivably see of large gatherings like concerts and conferences to get back to normal until fall of 2021.
That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard, because guess what? Whether they think about it or not, it's an essential part of the economy. And to deny that from happening, the whole thing is they're trying to jumpstart the economy. I was reading some things today about how they're going to do like an integrated push of slowly integrating us back. Like maybe an idea once more research comes out of well, they found out already that the majority of people that are getting sick, especially in New York City, are all obese, asthmatic, pre-existing condition, and the other outliers, you're old, you know? So like I could imagine staggering us back into society in terms of like young, healthy people. You do a pre-screening, you're allowed out, you're allowed in the workforce. They're the people that repopulate society, and all the olds, fats, and fucking sickies stay home until a vaccine or cure is found. And I think that's what we have to do. We can't just sit and be like, well, we have to wait till everything is 100% better. You know, at the end of the day, we've all got lives that need to go back to normal. And I think also, there's going to be a huge push for people wanting to have some form of normalcy with, like, I need entertainment. I have to go out. I want to feel normal. I want to go see a concert. I need to see a comedy show. And to say that that's not going to happen until 2021 is fear-mongering at best. And
it's predictions. He's not saying this is fact.
Well,
but I want to
fuck you. Not you. Not you.
No, first of all, nothing wrong with having a dick in your throat if you're into that sort of thing. But secondly,
well, not in a bathtub.
Sorry,
I get wound up because I'm you know, so scared of it never coming back.
Here's the thing. I agree with what you said, but there is a big roadblock that you kind of like brushed over, which is like a pre-screening. For anything to get back to any sort of normalcy, there need to be tests. Ultimately, there needs to be a vaccine. And I feel like society will truly not get back to fully normal. Like, even if shows start happening, venues start opening up, people won't feel comfortable going out until there's, like, as concrete a proof as possible. Even people that are healthy and not sickies, and by the way, a shout-out to all the sickies listening to the live cast right now. But ultimately, it has to start with the testing, and there hasn't been anything close. Like right now, the five of us, if we were wondering, do we have COVID? Do we have the Rona? We can't go and get tested. They're only
testing. Can.
No, you have to be showing symptoms.
There's a workaround, Rob. Tested. I don't know if you know about this. Cough on a rich person, and then follow them around to the doctor, and then you'll find
There's only so many tests available that they're only testing people who either show a fever or having problems breathing. But like, if you're feeling normal, you can't just go and check to see if you have.
Right, and if you're feeling normal, you shouldn't be selfish enough to go and try and get a test.
Yeah,
the whole thing is people.
Oh no, for sure, I agree. But I'm just saying, like, we in order to be able to feel comfortable to go out, you should know if you have it.
Right. But also, you know, and I'm not trying to make the comparison to like the flu, but I feel like people go out sick all the time, and I think that's going to happen. To say that it's never going to happen, where like, if you're sick, you stay home and we're going to mitigate that and everything. I think eventually, and maybe I'm sorry, but I think eventually it will turn into a thing of, once we get tests or once we get vaccines, that it will turn into a flu thing where like, oh, I'm feeling sick. You don't need a test. You just go to the doctor to get fixed, or you stay home and take care of it yourself.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Darren.
I'll say, well, that would be when we have a vaccine, rather.
Right. Exactly. And I'm speaking like way down the line once that happens. That's
right. But
that's
a vaccine is a year. They're estimating the vaccine will be in fall 2021. So, like, a vaccine doesn't just happen. Like, even if they have the vaccine right now, like, it's like, oh, we did it, we found it. You still have to do trials and testing, figure out what the side effects are. You can't just give it to people. You don't know. Like, everybody's different. Everyone will react differently to it. So you have to know that.
It's all speculation. We don't know what's going to happen.
Maybe they might find
a vaccine earlier. The entire world is competing with each other to find this vaccine. Like,
Is the FDA not just speedballing everything, pushing things through that would usually take like 6 months to a year of clinical testing, and they're just like bypassing every stoppage they've ever had in place?
Well, but even taking that into account,
right,
you still have to produce these vaccines. You know, like, just the production will take time.
They can't even make Clorox wipes fast enough at this point.
We don't even have enough masks just for our nurses, like, let alone civilian. You have to like know a guy. Like, it's harder to get fucking masks than weed in New York right now. You know,
I got a mask guy. My pharmacist, he calls me and goes, I got an order of masks coming in. I'm putting them on the shelves at 4, get here at 3. And I'm like, thank you, Vivek. Wow. Thank you.
got the mask plug.
That's right. Dude, I swear to God, he hooks me up with cleaning supplies. I mailed a thing of Clorox to a buddy of mine in Forest Hills because he's agoraphobic now, or agoraphobic. So I straight up am like hooking people up with masks and supplies and everything as best I can.
Well, this is why we had you on the show. We don't want fucking Clorox wipes.
Yeah,
like,
I need toilet paper.
Fucking comedy schmamity.
I haven't been able to find sanitizer anywhere. No, I have wipes. I have a mask. No sanitizer.
I paid $15 for this.
No, you did.
That's insane.
Oh.
The price gouging that's going on right now is the most
horrendous.
It's like when a hurricane hits and every motel in the area jacks their price up. Like, it's the most disgusting form of behavior. And we're all so helpless to it. I don't know what to do.
You can report
them,
right?
Baby. Like,
they're trying to shut it down. If you report the place, like, cops will go and...
What, so I call 911 and say I paid $15 for this hand sanitizer?
I think 311, but yeah, you do... I mean, it's not a waste of time because they're ripping off people who don't have the money to be ripped off.
I mean, where did you get that, Noah, on 125th and Lex? Like, where are they selling?
And look, it looks like, I don't know if you can see the price tag over there. It looks like $1,500.
Well,
oh my God.
London.
And Greenpoint.
It's getting so bad. I got a fucking email from this guy, like a Nigerian prince or something, asking me to hold $120 million worth of Clorox wipes. It's sick.
Yes,
I'll get 8% at the end of it.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
Also now, you know, everyone's feeling it, even fucking Ticketmaster.
Those poor,
they've suffered so much. I don't know if I can bear to hear the story.
There's such a
consumer-facing company that cares about their audience, who really feel for them.
Yeah, you know who said that first? Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, he was right. He was right.
Yeah. Ahead of his time on that score.
So previously, Ticketmaster had their deal was if a show is postponed, rescheduled, or canceled, you could get a refund, and or you could choose to just get the equivalent ticket for the postponed show or get a refund because, hey, just because the date changes doesn't mean you as a human being can go to the new date. Who knows what's going on in your life? Also, now with the coronavirus, if you even want to go to a show, whenever it is. But because essentially all of live entertainment was canceled for the next 3 months and everyone wanted their refunds, Ticketmaster allegedly ran out of money and were like they were in a liquidation crunch. So they changed their policy now where you can no longer get a refund for a postponed show. You're still on the hook for that ticket. But they're so nice. You can choose to resell that ticket on their reselling platform.
For a fee.
After the story came out yesterday, they slightly revised their policy to say that if the artist chooses to offer refunds for a postponed show, they can do that, which to me sounds like if the artist is willing to take like the loss of whatever fees for this refund, then we'd be doing it. Otherwise, we're not going to do it.
But I have a question. All right. So where does fucking money go? Because don't they have, like, if you're a business,
all those years of fees.
But don't you keep enough money on hand to dollar for dollar for every existing ticket purchase until the show ends just so you can refund people?
No,
like,
well,
that's
clearly no.
So what are they fucking doing with it?
They kept it.
Paying themselves. Yeah.
So they're not yacht somewhere.
They're withdrawing.
Paying the fat cat.
So the follow-up question is, they're not really out of money. They're just
They're out of liquid assets.
Go to the CEO. So he's got some fucking liquid assets.
Right. Well, but based on, like, corporate law, the CEO is an individual. Mm-hmm. Like, his personal income is not attached to the corporation.
So let's talk in plain terms that they're not willing to give you your fucking money.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Absolutely. That's absolutely what it is. And everybody is pissed off about that.
Yeah, they should be. I mean, this whole...
Got a call, Rob. It's your DoorDash. Put your mask on.
Before we took over my computer audio.
It's the bathhouse. You left your wallet there.
It's Shlomo from the bathhouse.
Oh.
Shlomo the homo.
Noah, don't be Shlomophobic, please. It's a family show. We had a long-time caller named Shlomo. He doesn't call anymore. He's like a 19-ish-year-old guy, but he was autistic, hearing impaired in one ear, and an Orthodox Jew.
Oh, my God.
And listens to metal.
Yeah. He was like our crackhead Bob. So.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. But sadly, he doesn't call anymore.
Wow. You know, speaking of Hasid's, it's going to be so interesting when we do get a vaccine and the majority of, you know, a bunch of these, like, niche communities in America refuse to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, like,
I'm already
the intersection of the anti-vaxxer movement and take
huge
a vaccine to save your life from COVID-19. I wonder what that's going to look like. You know?
2 days ago, Bill Gates was trending on social media because people, anti-vaxxers, were littering his feeds to be like, Bill, like, I will never trust anything, like any medicine from Bill Gates. You know, Bill Gates should be in jail. And I think it's something like all these, like, there's the Venn diagram of like anti-vaxxer people who think this is all because of 5G somehow, despite there being any proof. It's all like related. And I think there's a little bit of the Epstein thing in there. So I think because like Gates was on the Epstein planes, these anti-vaxxers who think it's a 5G hoax aren't going to trust the vaccine that he gives because that vaccine might have a data chip in it that will track you for the rest of your life.
I was going to say, what does Epstein have to do? Are they going to put like raping a teenage girl into your arm or something? Like, I don't think that's a thing.
I mean, I must I must have had the Epstein vaccine for the bad decade then. I don't know.
Hey, so maybe we saved you by not being able to bang that girl.
Thank you. Thank you. Or else I'd be Skyping in like Joe Exotic from jail. So thank you. Yeah, I don't know. I got to be honest, man. Back in like 2008, I didn't vote for Obama because I thought he was going to bring about death panels and FEMA death camps, and he was going to take over. He was going to have total authority and become a fascist dictator. And I was right, but I was off by one president.
But everybody,
I no longer feel that way. I was just on a lot of drugs at the time and went to a thing they like to call cocaine psychosis. So,
although how much of it was just the baking soda really getting to you?
Yeah. I had a bad allergic reaction to baking soda. It made me an anti-vaxxer.
And now there's a baking soda shortage. Thanks a lot. My fucking fridge smells like shit. Oh, wait. Before we move on from the religious Jews, I showed Rob this. My other co-hosts don't know about this. There was a float of Jewish Hasidic Jews going around up and down every block of my neighborhood, blasting Jewish music, attracting a crowd of literally 200 or 300 people.
Are you in Marine Park?
I'm not far from Marine Park. They might have gone there too.
My buddy sent me a video at his grandma's house the other day of the mitzvah tank, I guess, playing, gathering, just like a Pied Piper of Jewish people.
Yeah, and then leading them to infect every single not Jewish
person. Dude, I got to tell you this, and I know I'm not the only one. This COVID-19 has really just raised my racism up like a couple notches. Like when a dog hears like a whistle that no one else can hear, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's me when I see a Hasidic family without masks.
Oh,
I mean, and we're Jewish, so we can say this. I don't know if you are, Ian, but this is a show hosted by four Jews.
Yeah.
I was already like that before when I see Hasidic.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're Jewish. It's not anti-Semitism. It's because of their behavior. It's
totally
because of the shit that they do.
And I feel like they're the same. Like, both Darren and I grew up in Midwood, and, like, it's the same. They behave the same towards us. Oh, Anstead.
It's a very specific subsection of a very specific Orthodox rule. Like, there's plenty of Orthodox Jews that are wonderful people.
Listen, wherever you live, there's some kind of religious fanatics near you. These are the ones we've got. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like we don't have that many that I know of evangelical Christians or, like, wacky.
Totally. And the religion has nothing to do with it, like you said, and it's all related to the behavior. But these are abhorrent people. And the right to religious freedom, I mean, the equivalent is those pastors in Louisiana that were like, hey, we're having services. God will save us.
Yeah.
Come congregate. It's like, dude,
we're covered in Jesus' blood.
Yeah.
That religion is organized religions are such jokes.
Such jokes.
Disorganized religion fucking sucks too. Fuck that too. It's because you're doing shitty things in an organized way. That doesn't impress me. All
right? No. The right to religious freedom is so gross in certain aspects, but. You know, my girlfriend is Muslim, so I just have to say, inshallah, you know.
Something else.
Allah Akbar.
By the way, I don't know if you can hear this behind me. It's the Jew siren.
Oh,
because we're,
it's Shabbos.
It's not Shabbos. It's
I don't know what the other
week. Pesach, I believe.
Oh.
For holidays, and they blast the air raids. Swear to God, true story, and I've told this on the show before. First time they played this.
Hold on, Darren, could you stop talking? Let's hear it.
All right, can you hear it? And then
it just sounds like a Jewish mother whining.
that is it. She's on a bullhorn up at the top of the
roof. Which is the equivalent of an Italian mother whining.
You don't love me.
Yeah. You don't call anymore.
She's from what part of New York City?
Hey, no.
First time they played this, maybe the end of September 2001, so like 2 weeks after 9/11.
No.
In my living room, chilling, hanging out, and, you know, cleaning up, whatever. I hear the, oh my God, the fucking, they're attacking. They're flying into my building now. What the fuck is happening? I turn on, you know, CNN or whatever. No, nothing's going on. No update. Okay. 15 minutes later, they play the fucking siren again. They give you a Shabbos warning, and then they give you the
and that's the official.
And it happened again. I swear to God, I was freaking the fuck out. I was so stressed. I was like, the Jews got a secret terrorist alert that didn't tell anybody. They have their network, the Chabad Lubavitch network or some shit.
Oh my God. That's so scary.
Terrible.
Have you seen Unorthodox on Netflix? Is anyone
No, friend just told me about it. It's on Netflix?
Yes.
What
is it good?
It's really good. I haven't seen the last episode, so don't spoil it for me, but it's about it's based on a true story of the woman who escaped the Hasidic
unit. Right. Now, wasn't there a
documentary? Really good.
Wasn't there a documentary on Netflix about that called One of Us?
Yes.
So, oh my God, I'm too afraid to watch that One of Us.
No, it's actually
like
really
if you just watch the trailer, it's like it just freaks. It makes me so uncomfortable. I can't.
It has a lot of like very nerve wracking parts, and it's also like somewhat uplifting too. Like these people got out in there.
Mm.
So one of the stories is really depressing, and another one is like, oh, this guy's just kind of living his life now. You know, so it's like good and bad.
Oh, loser, right?
I don't remember. I watched this like 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember the people's names. But.
Yeah, I need to watch Unorthodox. A friend of mine told me that it's really great. So that'll go on my list of movies. I'll be too stressed out to watch because I feel like I'm not being productive during the quarantine.
I view watching TV shows as the most productive thing I'm doing during the quarantine. So.
That's how Sid always measured his productivity by how much he watches TV.
Yeah.
Through the roof now.
Yeah.
Good for you. It's funny because I do work and then I'll get distracted and then I'll walk around and then I'll have these bursts of creativity where for like 20 to 30 minutes I am on fire and then it's like 2 hours of nothing. And it's like I'm trying to force myself to do the work during those 2 hours when I should just be like, no, TV time. It's okay. Unorthodox time. But instead, I just sit and flagellate myself, and it's not a good recipe.
Hey, you know, Stephen King said that the best way he describes his creativity is he has a muse, and the muse takes the giant steaming shit on his brain. And you cannot control when the muse has diarrhea. So
yes, you know? That's very true. And luckily, I'm into scat porn, so I will. Anytime my muse shits on me.
So turn on and you get productive.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if I could teach a master class, it would be on writing with a boner. That would be my.
You literally stick your pencil in it and write.
That's coincidentally, that's like 80% of Joyce Carol Oates' class.
There it is. That's a sign. I got to take it.
Do you write better before release or after release?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've been doing a lot of research on that lately. And I'm going to have to do a little bit more before I can come back with the results. But I think I'm at the age now, and I don't want to tell you how old I am, but I'm at naps after he comes years old. So I don't think I should do that before I write.
Oh, man.
So that's like an end of the writing session type event.
Yeah, like a real reward, you know. I'll write one premise, no punchlines. I'll be like, you've earned it.
I have a follow-up question. So are you at the age yet where you don't clean up your sick after you've done this and don't even get up to go to the shower? You just go right into the nap?
Well, where are you making?
The ghee, remember?
Let's say, for sake of argument, on your Brazilian jiu-jitsu training mat.
I mean, I don't know about you, but if that were me, I'd be wrestling.
Yeah. Hey, that might be somebody's turn on, though.
No, I don't want to pull the curtain back too much or get too gauche, but I don't really have to worry about much cleanup because I do it into my trash can.
Oh.
So You know,
it's
just
efficient.
What?
It's efficient.
It is, except for when I'm laying down and I have to hop up at the last second and I look like I'm trying to escape a pee.
Oh.
Well,
listen, you're a pragmatist.
Yeah, I look like I'm trying to get through a maze of snakes when I go from laying down to hopping up to aiming in my trash can.
So,
do you ever not make it? Does it happen where you're like, oh no?
Yeah, I've lost a couple articles of clothing to some poor timing. But also, I have chronic epididymitis, which is like a blockage. Like if you don't go right away and it like builds up, you can get epididymitis. So I have that gets inflamed a lot with me for some reason. So if I like, and if I am running late and I wait to get to the trash can, I can be in like a lot of pain. So sometimes if I don't do the timing right, there is immediate cleanup that has to be done.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, it's just you pay the cost to be the boss.
is there a cure?
Yeah, not jerking off all the time. You know, but I'm it's so funny because I think we all do this, but in my head I have a lot of shame, I have a lot of guilt, and I think I'm always the worst member of every group. I always think I'm the worst person on the train. I always think I'm the worst person in the room, you know. So in my head, I'm like, oh my God, you do this too much. And then I'll talk to friends and I'm like, dude, oh God, I jerk off like 4 times every day. And I'm like, really? I do like 4 times a week. And I thought I was like an evil person sent to hell, you know? So I don't think it happens as much as I'm making it out to be, but when it does, it really sticks with me with a lot of shame and guilt, you know?
Like a Buddhist
now, what is the shame? Like, what should you be saving that semen for something? Like where is the shame from?
Arts and
well,
crafts?
The shame is because I'm doing it while I make eye contact with my cat. And
that's okay.
You try not to feel shameful when, you know, you're just staring at a kitten.
Did you see what that fucking cat was wearing? Let's be real.
I shave him before I do it. No, the shame is in the sense that I should be doing more. I shouldn't be doing this. I should be working. I should be creating, and I'm not. I'm a piece of shit for it, you know.
Yeah.
So that
you know what it is, like you'll say to yourself, oh, it's only gonna be like a 5 to 10 minute thing, just like a quick thing to get my energy up or my mood,
yep.
And then it like you just get like sucked in trying to look for the perfect clip.
Oh my God!
And then that's,
yeah.
You know. And then it's like 2 hours later or something.
2 hours later.
And you haven't even started.
No, you're still searching for that perfect clip. You're like, let me find a girl that looks like a girl that got away in high school. Where is she? Not the same age, but same hair color.
It's allowed.
No, yeah. I feel like in life you either get to the point where you date your crush or just find a porn star to jerk off to that looks like her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's healthy.
Interesting.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But now, like, my girlfriend is away, and so when you guys are with someone, do you make to pictures of them?
If it's early in the relationship, but not – that is that moment has passed. That's when they're new and when it still sort of feels like this could be something you just stumbled upon on the internet.
Yeah,
know?
yeah.
I wouldn't say pictures, but but scenarios, yes. Like not pictures, but like certain instances of like passion.
Oh,
yeah.
Like stuck porn.
What's that? That's a new one on me.
What's stuck porn?
You don't know what stuck porn is? Oh my God. It's this weird genre of pornography where, you know, like a girl is doing laundry and then she needs help from like her stepbrother because she gets stuck in the laundry machine. And instead of being like a helpful brother, he just fucks her while she's stuck.
So is she going around and around in the, no, washing machine?
They don't have the budget for those kind of special effects.
Oh, so that's the only reason. No.
She's getting banged, and she's like, wash cycle, wash cycle.
I have seen a few of those. I didn't know there was a name for it, though. There's, like, stuck in the window.
Oh, bro, it's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. I mean, can we just turn it off? Shut it down. We have hit every genre of pornography.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's over. Just stop. Why do we got to keep coming up with new scenarios? I swear to God, it's like heroin. You just do it and do it because you're always chasing that first thing. It gets more and more gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a lull coming up soon. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff in the can produced, but after that, I mean, who's really making
porn? Oh, that's true.
I mean, I think it's going to get to, like, Zoom 3D, like, POV porn.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I think that's why, like, stuff like OnlyFans, like self-produced porn, is now doing very well. And also, it is basically the equivalent of like a Patreon where you're directly supporting
the
artist.
Yes.
But Rob, even with that, I mean, you're limited to what you can do on your own in your quarantine area. Like, you can't have a different guy come in and
you're grossly underestimating how horny men are.
There's some guys out there.
Get creative with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you were about to say, yeah, there are guys that'll pay for anything.
Oh, totally. Yeah, guys will pay for a girl to sit and read Dr. Seuss, and they'll be like, "Oh, this is it. Take all my money, you know." Eat one fish, two fish, blow me, you fish, please.
Just have your head stuck in the bookshelf at the same time.
Yeah.
The combination of everything.
Can you read this? Can you recite this Joyce Carol Oates masterclass video while I fuck you in the washing machine?
Please. And they wanted to last as long as possible, so they're like, please, please, read me Infinite Jest topless.
Oh my God. I guarantee that already exists. That has to already exist.
It is pretty funny to think, like, they're going to run out of new clips to post. Like, Pornhub, like you run out of stuff to watch on Pornhub or whatever. Like, there's so much. There is such a huge catalog.
Let me tell you something.
Of archives, just in the last 5 years.
Yeah, but no one will run out because guess what? The way porno works is that it's like an ice cube tray. The second a little thing gets filled up, it bleeds over into another thing. So like, you're going to be like, your thing will be like doggy style, and you'll be looking it up. And you'll be so into doggy style, and you'll click on a clip on a thumbnail, and it'll be like, wow, I didn't know that I was into Spanish women. And they'll go into that, and then you'll see like the next one.
And then you scroll down, and there's
and then you'll go on a clip, you think it's Spanish women, but it's a Thai lady boy, and you're like, well, this unlocks a new world.
I haven't watched porn, I would say maybe for like 5 months or so.
Why?
I don't want to watch it anymore.
Why?
So you're self-limiting?
Yes. Because, again, like, it's exactly what I said before, where you just get sucked in and you waste too much time. And that it's like, I just don't want to.
You don't see the benefit in it anymore.
Mm-mm.
So just to probe this a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, you're actively getting laid as well.
Yes.
But,
that helps,
I think,
sure.
You don't want to do it, or you do want to and you're stopping yourself?
I think at first it felt like that, but now I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Do you find that your imagination has come back and your dreams are more vivid?
I don't really dream, but I guess my imagination is more vivid.
Because I quit for most of the quarantine, and
yay,
I just barely... I mean, I'll scroll. The last two times I looked for like a second, but then I started to like look at pictures of my girlfriend and like videos of us. And that is what I did. But I really liked myself when I didn't look at porn.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll get sucked in if I follow some accounts on Twitter, and then, like, you know, they post, I don't know how they get away with it, but they'll post videos, and I just like oh, then I scroll to the next, and I'm like, no, I can't. And I stop myself.
You quit porn, or you quit jacking it entirely?
Both.
Oh, wow.
I guess both.
Interesting.
Just want to focus on the real thing.
It feels
so
good.
Disappointed.
It feels good.
I cannot imagine.
No, it's better for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just takes me on like this weird spiral after I do it. And it's not like right away. It's like the next couple of days.
Don't you feel more present during sex too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We just lost 40% of our Patreon subscribers.
Well, I mean, I had nothing to offer in that way. So
they don't know that. They don't know that. I'm not going to reveal anything.
Okay.
If times get tough, Noah, would you start an OnlyFans?
Someone asked me, and I wasn't sure exactly what it was. I don't know. Like the
OnlyFans Patreon.
My OnlyFans account would just be me feeding Bruno. If you're interested
naked?
In that,
someone will probably pay for
that. I mean, I guess you don't have to be naked. There's non-nude OnlyFans. That's like
really what?
Sure.
But
they do fetish stuff, right? I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
it's just called going to the store. What the fuck are you talking about?
What happens is Chatterbait
just
store
supporting.
Around?
You're supporting your favorite personality.
I guess there's probably some guys that just get off like donating money to women.
Yeah, it's called financial domination.
Yeah,
it's
so
called
maybe
FinDom.
Go
maybe
sugar daddies.
Maybe that's why they set up a thing, you know.
Well. I would love to do an OnlyFans, but I don't think people would pay to see me. But I've tried to pimp my girlfriend out into us doing an OnlyFans.
Mm.
And, you know, I'll say it. That was not a good idea. But what you
well, it's good that you have the communication to be able to talk about those things, to understand that it is not good.
Yeah.
Ian is so good at communication. I would say that's one of his strong aspects. He's just really good at self-expression and just like talking about things.
That makes me happy to hear because I feel like I'm not. So thank you. And that's something I really try at. And that's something in my current relationship that's like top tier has been amazing. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no, I've definitely noticed that you're like definitely one of my more no offense to any of my friends, but like you're one of the more like emotionally evolved and self-aware people that I know.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I could tell that too. When you said you only jerk off 4 times a week, I was like, this guy's very emotionally present and evolved.
Noah, could you now name some of the least emotionally evolved friends you have? Just for the record.
Oh God. No, I don't want to.
I think
a couple did pop
yeah.
into my head, but I won't say it.
Yeah, earlier Noah lost most of the Patreon subscribers, so now she lost most of the podcast.
Hey, is my mic on? Hello?
Did you see the race car driver that said the N-word while he thought his mic was off? They were doing some like coronavirus quarantine like racing game, like real race car drivers were driving in a simulation. And they had their headset on, like they're talking to the pit and all this stuff. And it's like, they were having mic trouble. So he goes, oh, no one can hear me? Okay, N-word. And they were like, oh, your mic's on, buddy.
Hilarious.
He got the fucking torched.
Wow. I didn't know I was a race car driver. I think that's hilarious. Because obviously they all say it. So, wow, that guy's just being real.
But it strikes me as, of all the public mistaken uses of that word, this has to be, it's not the vile racist, most racist one, it's just the dumbest one. Like, he wasn't even calling anyone that. He's just like, I feel like saying this word now.
Well, I think because there's such a stigma on it and it's such a no-no word, it's like, if you say the wrong word at the right time, it'll get like a real big giggle from people. So maybe he was like, what, like, do you ever do that thing in your head that's like, what's the worst thing I could do right now
this
moment? And then you don't do
especially.
It, obviously. But you can't help your head from going there. I think that happens with that word a lot just because it's like so bad to say, you know? But I'm not like, I don't know if this guy's racist or not, but I mean, saying that word at the wrong time was probably in his head like a good idea, But that seems like it's from an episode of South Park. Like, I can picture Randy Marsh doing that.
Totally. Well, another thing I could picture Randy Marsh doing is picking up the new album from the Black Dahlia Murder. The Black Dahlia Murder's new album, Verminous, is out this Friday on Metal Blade Records. And Verminous is the band's most dynamic, rousing, and emotional release to date. And it achieves all of this without compromising one iota of heaviness. We obviously are big fans of the Black Dahlia Murder here. We had Trevor on last month. He's an awesome guest, friend of the show. And we've done a lot of cool clips on Metal Injection with Black Dahlia Murder, including having Trevor host a trivia show of Black Dahlia trivia where the loser got slimed. Anyway, you can pick up the
Were you
new...
the loser, Rob?
I was not the loser.
Oh. He provided the slime.
I'm a loser, not the loser. The Black Dahlia Murder's new album, Verminous, is out this Friday on Metal Blade Records. You can purchase your copy now at metalblade.com/TBDM, The Black Dahlia Murder.
By the way, something that Noah hasn't done in 5 months, have an emotional release, unlike the Black Dahlia Murder.
She does, just not manually.
She has an emotional release with someone else present in the room. She's
fair enough.
Someone with my boyfriend.
Well, that's, he's someone.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I just wanted to specify in case.
I wasn't implying there was like multiple, like various people. It's
just like a neighbor.
No, but someone that sounds like random.
It's too impersonal. I see. Nice. But
Jared, are you okay?
True.
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry, technical difficulties.
It looked like you were smelling a fart. I was worried for you.
No, I crapped my Depends. I apologize. I'm just trying to fix something here.
Well, I had that similar reaction when I saw this story that Russell Crowe, Aussie actor Russell Crowe, loves Disturbed's cover of The Sound of Silence. Ian, have you heard the cover? The worst thing ever.
No, and do I want to?
No.
I think I do.
No.
Well, yeah,
when I saw this on, I guess, Twitter, I saw it somewhere. And the way they were introduced to me was they put the article and it said Russell Crowe thinks this is the best song in the history of rock. And the headline was like, Russell Crowe has only heard the song ever in rock.
So he called this perhaps ever.
I mean, does he disturb me? What are you doing?
Best vocal cover or best rock vocal ever? Like
best vocal ever.
So better than like Robert Plant, say.
Maybe David D. Rain Man is his landlord, and he just doesn't want his rent to increase.
Maybe like worst mean best in the other.
Disturbed was on London 4 years ago and performed this with a whole back orchestra. Russell Crowe posted that and he wrote every now and then someone comes along and redefines genius.
And
like what? I'm watching.
Can you play the song?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Here's the Conan clip that.
Oh, I already hit. Trash it. It's not far off from that.
Oh, darkness, my own friend.
Greatest rock vocal ever!
He sounds like he's doing an old spiritual.
I mean, it sounds like Russell Crowe and Disturbed made an old childhood bet.
But who could say the biggest bunch of bullshit in the news and have it pick up?
No, no.
I thought you said like, an old childhood bed.
Oh, no. But like that thing when you're like kids and you're in a treehouse, you're like, I got to get out of this town. When I make it, I'm going to bring you with me.
Oh.
Like, this is my friend. He's really good. He's just like, can't hit a note or whatever.
My old friend.
Because a vision softly creeping,
I over-enunciate when I'm singing.
When I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still.
I mean, this sounds like if they somehow got a recording of a
candle. This brain is like 5G. It fucks with this song. It's like 5G. See, look, I can't even talk.
I mean, if they got some vampire to cover this song, that's what it sounds like.
Blur, little dog, it's my old friend.
Yeah, candle opera was the word I was trying to say. I think I just
again.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is just like an episode of Ghost Hunters in a castle, and this is a recording.
This is actually on the upcoming Capcom game, the Castlevania Jewish Rock Castle.
Yeah.
Get away from me with that garlic. Please invite me inside your house.
It is getting early in the morning. I must go before the sun comes.
I really hate the portrayal of me by Tom Cruise.
For the last time, silver bullets kill wolves.
Oh. In the sound of silence.
I mean, that's the key word here. I would much rather listen to that than this.
We get the point now.
I was going to say, at least play like 10 seconds of when it ramps up to a Disturbed song.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when his voice, he goes up to the next octave and really can't do it. By the way, I made a parody of this song, which is about how bad it is. Maybe we could put it on the episode description.
Didn't we just do that?
Yes. It's a remix. And I can't hit the notes either. But I kind of like David Drainman, so it's okay.
Please welcome him.
Oh, sorry. There it goes.
Was Russell Crowe your ahead. Version, Darren?
No, because he would have not said that David Drainman's version was the best rock.
Yeah. Well, actually, he has, and we got a quote from him. Perhaps the greatest rock parody ever.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
So he's only heard one rock parody.
Yeah.
No one did. Did I miss it? Did I miss it, or is it after this?
This is like the guy that doesn't want to do karaoke and his friends force him. By social shaming.
But he really wants to do karaoke.
This sounds like if Celine Dion transitioned and then tried to continue her music career.
Oh. I kind of hear it. It does sound a little Celine.
Sounds like somebody kicked Scott Stapp in the balls.
Altered bridge. They couldn't. This is live on Conan. They couldn't put the effects like you had to actually sing it.
The performance is much better if you see the video because the masturbating bear is behind him like whacking off the whole time. It's much better in context.
At the same time, the Slipknots are dancing.
The best.
And then Conan, this is actually not David Raymond. That's why it sounds so bad. It's actually Andy Richter going, in the year 2000. That actually sounds way better than this song.
I mean, it's good to know that Russell Crowe is, you know, one step closer to rehab.
we shouldn't play any more of that song.
No, that was terrible. what if we played that song and it cured Corona? Like that song is so bad it would make a virus retreat.
but then you know, we talked about anti-vaxxers. There would be anti-disturbers that would refuse to take the disturbed vaccine.
It is raising its hand.
First in line for not taking that vaccine.
So it would take disturbed solving Corona to get enough to get people on board with hating disturbed. You're saying.
Whatever.
It wouldn't work for Sid. Even then,
I'm for it. Anything that makes people not trust disturbed, it's fine with me. Be an anti-vax, please.
God, that song was bad.
Yep. And it's like the biggest rock hit of like the last decade, probably, right, Rob? It was like massive.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah, it was absolutely because of the crossover appeal. It just like every radio station played it. Like they got classic rock radio play, you know, like any station that had any peripheral rock format.
I heard it in like Old Navy shit.
Right. It kind of reached that level of popularity.
I don't want you to play the video again, but do you know, off chance, did he yell at Conan O'Brien for looking at his phone while he was singing this song? Because he does that in concerts, apparently.
Very important. You got to pay attention.
That actually happened, Ian.
Conan looked at his phone during that performance?
No. There was a David Drainman incident where he... See, someone in his crowd looked at his phone. He stopped in the middle of a song and yelled at them and said that you can't be looking at your phone while I'm up here doing my artistry.
So then that person that he yelled at posted publicly that I was actually getting a text from my daughter who was saying that she was getting home safely. And I'm a huge Disturbed fan.
When he yelled at the girl, did he say, "Put that sound on silence"?
He's such an artist. He stayed in the song and just veered into scolding.
Yeah, he stopped the music.
He's actually serenading her.
Always talks about drugs.
He was serenading her. We were looking at this all wrong.
I mean, I feel like that was like when new metal came full circle. Like when Disturbed came out, that's when everyone was like, all right, we've had enough.
Yeah.
And that circle is the seventh circle of hell.
Yeah. That's pretty metal.
All right. Well, the David Draymond talk really kind of took the wind out of my sails.
Well, I like the vampire parody.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'm glad that came out of it.
Yeah. I mean, where can you go from here, you know?
Well, we did get a little bit of hate mail. And of course, you could always send us some feedback by emailing hatemail@metalinjection.net.
It's like hate mail ironic. I thought people were mad at you guys. I got so upset.
Oh, there is some of that.
Haven't gotten that in a really long time.
Yeah,
it's usually in like Metal Injection comments and mostly about Rob's articles and his perspective.
Hilarious.
We get like hate-filled anti-Semitic stuff. Remember that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was like actually right around the last election, I feel, when online trolling was very active. And
fuck
then,
that. I'm sorry, guys.
No, I mean, it was hilarious. It was, we had fun
with it.
I'm apologizing for writing the email.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That makes sense. It was you that did that Photoshop that, like, used that old you know, stereotypical Jewish guy with the nose, like holding his hands and putting.
No, that was just a selfie I sent you.
All right. So this is from our listeners whose name is also Rob, but he spells it with two B's.
So it's Rob.
I like Rob with two B's. I like that.
So and like short for Robert with two B's, R-O-B-B-E-R-T? Is that how he's like? I've never seen that.
He acquires the extra B when it's shortened. He doesn't want to go too short.
Okay.
His parents had a stutter.
Oh.
Should I start spelling my name with two B's?
No, you've got to go three now.
It's bull. The drummer in my band, the drummer in my old ska band, spelled his name Rob with two B's.
You know, I might just do Rob with four B's, so it's the same amount of characters as just writing out Robert, but just with the B's.
Right, so it's not, you can't even say you're shortening it.
Rob-ba-ba.
Would it still be pronounced Rob, though?
Yes. Yeah, the last three B's are silent.
Noah looks so disgusted right now. I love
I'm trying to figure out how I would say it. You have to kind of like do like a trill with your lips.
You should
try
spell it R apostrophe O B B B B B.
Can we get
R Rob?
You got an umlaut and a tilde in there.
R
Rob. Rob. Yeah, we can throw an umlaut over that O. Yeah, for sure.
You are anyway.
Hey! All right. So Rob writes, and by the way, Sid, you'd be happy to know that he wrote this email in Comic Sans font.
My dude!
I gotta go. Okay. Wait, what? What is this? Comic Sans? Like that?
This is a Comic Sans activist.
That's right.
That's so gross.
You're not a fan of Comic Sans?
Don't be a snob. Come on.
I feel like he can be against it because he's an actual comic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So he is Sans Comic Sans.
I see. So you've lived the life of seeing a sheet of like the tonight's crew, tonight's guests, and it's your name in Comic Sans. You just don't like that kerning.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't like the disrespect of it saying Comic Sans. Sans what? Without what? Don't insult me.
See, it's too personal for you. That's the issue.
You're right.
Well, especially
I need to divorce myself of my proximity to this in order to get an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually have a merchandising shirt that says Comic Sans Pride. So it works on two levels. It's like you're proud of Comic Sans or you're a comic without any pride in yourself.
Oh. Hmm.
There you go. In our store now.
There you go. MetalInjection.net/livecast merch if you're interested in that. And so he writes, I love you guys, but your Sharon Osbourne impression is legitimately better than your Drew McIntyre.
Oh, Ozzy, don't drink that bleach. Oh, I told you to clean up, not drink the bleach. Oh.
Very good. Better than ours.
Ozzy, put on your mask, Ozzy. Ozzy. You can't get the virus. You've already got every other virus in the world.
I'm very upset that Harvey Weinstein never tried to harass me. How dare he?
Ozzy, treat my pussy like a bat and eat it.
But the bat was attractive.
Ozzy, you're good at fingering me because you already have a shake, Ozzy.
I say he just puts his hand there and lets Parkinson do work.
Oh, no.
Oh, Ozzy, is your favorite Beatles cover Shake, Rattle, and Roll?
Ozzy, come here and stand still and hold this glass of milk. I want a milkshake.
When I get a martini, I say I want it Ozzy not stirred.
And I make chicken, I use Ozzy and bake.
Ozzy, why did you sing that song with Eminem and Lil Wayne?
Wait, is that the rap cover he did? What was that rap song he
did? No, it was,
Post Malone.
Oh, God.
Oh. Same difference.
Oh, God.
I mean, Post Malone is like a combination of Eminem and Lil Wayne, basically.
Ozzy, just die out. You don't need to be relevant in 2020, Ozzy.
Is there any more in that email?
There is more, but
I thought you were going to say, is there any more in that impression? I was like,
we've got a few drops left.
Bring out the towel.
So he continues that no one can imitate the Scottish accent because Drew McIntyre is Scottish.
McIntyre.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a pro wrestler. He just won the WWE World Championship at WrestleMania.
Oh.
And last week, Darren was doing a Scottish accent, mocking him. Not mocking.
It's like probably 10% metal, 20% wrestling, and like 70% fart and dick jokes.
And making.
Making, right. Well, that would go into dick.
I love a good make. Oh, wrong person, sorry.
I love a good make.
No.
I guess.
Oh, I'm melting.
This is like the T-1000, the melting at the end of Terminator 2, going through all its phases of impersonating people.
And then he goes on to say that he preferred the Undertaker AJ match to the John Cena Bray Wyatt match.
Undertaker match is great. Do you think they're going to have like cinematic matches from now on?
I think definitely as long as there's a virus quarantine. I don't know, maybe after too, because like this is the best reaction they've got for a match in like 14 years. So
we actually haven't talked about this, but like just yesterday, WWE was deemed an essential service by the government of Florida because they've been shooting this whole time. They've been shooting their shows. And then, like, they kind of pre-recorded a bunch of shows leading up to WrestleMania, including WrestleMania. It was pre-recorded. And then this week, they came back to Florida because they ran out of tape material. And Florida now has a lockdown or, like, a stay-at-home order, whatever it is. And they now decided they're not just going to be pre-taping. They're going to be going live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Wait, you left out the best part. Hold on. They brought their talent down to do this.
They brought their talent down with the idea that they would be taping the next 5 weeks of tapings this past weekend. And then at the first taping, Vince McMahon decided, no, we're just going to go live. Why? Because Vince McMahon, in the contracts that they have with the broadcast networks, they have huge contracts, which is the most money they make all year is from these TV contracts. And the contracts are for live programs. So Vince McMahon is afraid that if he doesn't provide, live programming, that would make them in breach, and then the networks can negotiate to pay them less, which he does not want. So he's going to be making all of these wrestlers either quarantine or travel once a week, but then everyone was like, how is this legal? There's the lockdown. Nobody can have these gatherings.
That's terrible.
And so people were inquiring with the mayor of the city because they own this gym in Florida outside of Orlando in Orange County. And the mayor was like, yeah, we've been trying to get them to stop. But then that day, the governor issued a decree that any sort of sport that has a national audience is an essential service, including WWE. So now, theoretically, you know how UFC is having trouble putting on a show? UFC can go to Florida now and do a show.
Right. MLB can just do all their games in Florida, too.
So now I know what you're saying. How did this happen? How did the governor of Florida, how did this even get on his radar? There's so much shit to deal with right now. How did he even have the time to decree that WWE has the permission because they're an essential service? Well, coincidentally, the day before, I don't know if you know this, Vince McMahon's wife, Linda McMahon, she used to be the head of the Small Business Administration.
Small Business Administration.
I want to listen to Small Business, we all.
It's actually the EPMD reunion album.
left that position to now be the person running the Trump re-election super PAC. And the day before, they arrange with Governor DeSantis of Florida to be spending like something like $18 million in Florida on his re-election bid. So what a coincidence that the very next day after this Trump super PAC run by the wife of the guy running WWE, and after this super PAC committed to giving the state $18 million, or maybe even more, I might have the number wrong, that the very next day, they're like, yeah, WWE is essential. Mm-hmm. Nothing fishy here.
All in fucking prison.
Well, you know, masks, a bunch of designer masks are coming out. And people are saying that they're trying to capitalize on, you know, whatever, whatever, which is true. But also, if you're making masks during this pandemic, you were deemed an essential business. So in that way, they can keep producing other products. So everyone is just finding a way to profit off of all this.
I didn't know.
It's just so disgusting, except for the common working man. We're all the ones that are truly getting fucked during all of this.
And I do want to mention, you can get your live cast mask at metalinjection.net. No, we're not.
Do you have the capabilities of doing that? Can you put our logos on masks, Rob? Have you looked into it?
Send me money via Venmo, and I will not give you a mask, but I will give you a feeling of goodness and wellness every day by just following me on social media.
What
that's
is this?
My mask. The mask, your sad emotions. That's what my mask gives you.
Is this Finn down, Ian? What's going on here?
I don't know, but I'm on Cameo, and I'm having the time of my life.
Well, as we wrap up, Ian, how can people follow you and keep up with your little bits of knowledge and love on the social media?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Rob. You can follow me on Instagram at ianimal, I-A-N-I-M-A-L. Like iPhone, but with animal, ianimal. I post a cartoon every day with Gary Veeder and Julia Johns. It's called Surviving with Gary and Ian. It comes out every day, 11 a.m., Monday to Friday. I'm really proud of it. It's been great. And the goal is to turn it into a book, which we're really excited about. We have a Patreon coming out. And I'm on Cameo, too, cameo.com/IanFidance. And I'm really having fun making, like, wild, crazy videos for people. And I don't know, I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation, you know. And, you know, if I could plug one more thing, New York State Unemployment Office, please make it easier for us to get unemployment, because I'm getting really disappointed every time I get through of you hanging up on me. So if you're listening, please amend that.
Hey, listen.
Andrew Cuomo is a big fan of the show.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. What about
it? Patreon.
I don't know if you guys saw, but because of all this unemployment stuff, all these unemployment servers are crashing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, these servers are so archaic that the programming language that it's written in, COBOL, it hasn't been used in 20 years. Jeez. So now all of these retired programmers are coming out of retirement just to like help fix these systems. These are how like unattended to these fucking systems are, that someone just built it 20 years ago and they just left it.
That's
insane.
Crazy. Well,
it's insane.
Amazon is taking 30 orders a second, and they are not crashing at all. And the unemployment needs to. I was telling a buddy, I was like, team up with Google, team up with Skynet, team up with anyone you want. Put a camera in my pee hole. I do not care. Follow me wherever I go.
I've had that.
Chip me up. Put a chip in me. I don't chip me up. Tortilla. Electronic, whatever. I was 69 Bill Gates. Just get me my fucking employment check.
And with that, Ian, thank you so much.
That flew by.
Yeah, Patreon shout outs, Bob.
I did just want to thank Ian, and I want to thank everyone for listening. And we will be back next week. And of course, before we go, I do want to give a shout out to our top live cast fans of the week. And to be a top live cast fan of the week, all you have to do is donate $10 a month to our Patreon and you get a shout out. And in addition, you get access to all the bonus episodes that regular patrons who pay $5 a month get. And you can get all this fun stuff at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast.
All right, here are Patreon shout-outs of the week. We got Eric Rabaganoush, a.k.a. Justin, Benjamin L. Deuterino, Cynical Sid, Cynic Cynicism, Dan R., Cattle Decaf, Mindy Mayer's Keepa, Croc Destroyer, Sam I Am I Is, we have Justin with an E, Gender, Chasseur Chasseussets, and LaCroix.
Can you actually redo those in the Sharon Osbourne?
Oh, no.
No.
Eric, did something.
Eric, shout out of the week. Eric, Relegadus, a.k.a. Justin. Benjamin, El Duderino, Cynical Cynic Cynicism. Dan R., Colonel Decaf, Mindy Mayer's Keeper, Crook Destroyer, Sam I Am I Is, Justin with an E, Gender,
Now, Rob, can I just ask, since we just gave them like an extra week's worth of shout outs, is there a way for us to go into the Patreon and charge them an extra $2-3? This is not a fucking charity, what we're doing here. I want that fucking money.
That actually covers next week. It's fine.
Okay. So next week we don't do any shout outs.
Plus,
okay.
We got a celebrity to do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for us. So there's only one thing left to do, and that's dance.
Won't be long till I see you. 6:30, Tuesday. Tune in live next week. Cause I know what I'm doing best. And I know what's going on around here. Cause I know what I'm doing best. And I know what's going on. Got to leave, got to say goodbye for now. All right.
Yay.
Thank you. Yeah. That was great.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
that was
thanks
so fun.
Much.
Yeah. Thank you. Love you.
Best. Oh, I love you. Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow, 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah, with Bonnie McFarlane.
Nice.
So fun.
I'm so excited.
So fun.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Okay, bye.
No.
Getting off, too?
Bye, Rob. I guess so.
Hey, bye.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Good show.